Greetings to each one this morning. It has been a blessing to be here on a Saturday morning and spend time on some of those important things of life. As you consider the thing of peace in the home, I'll just be the first to admit we haven't always had peace in the home. There's times in life when those waves come up. So if you're looking to listen from someone that has all the answers and has attained, you're in the wrong class, I'm sorry. But maybe we can learn some, you know, sometimes we can learn by what not to do about from our failures. So I trust by God's grace that we're able to look together at some of these things, creating an atmosphere of peace in the home. As I look out of the audience of the children that were here this morning, there's a lot of young children. I'm at a stage in life where my children are a little bit older. And for most of you, I see some gray hair here as well. So I suppose that some of you are at a position in life where you have children that are a little taller. And we come to the place where we realize we can't always carry our children. We can't always just tell them what to do. There comes a time in life when we simply need to lead them. As a shepherd, we show them the way. And then it becomes so important that we have their heart and that they have found peace with the God of heaven. Peace, creating an atmosphere of peace in the home. So the title simply says, creating an atmosphere of peace. One mark is a good leadership is peace. We all want to be a good leader, right? We want that to be said of us. First of all, from God in heaven, as he's looking down on each one of us. We want to be a good leader, but it doesn't just happen. We don't buy it at the dollar store down the street. We don't pick it up on a Sunday morning on the way to church. Being a good leader means by serving, means by being diligent, means giving. How can peace flow from us to our loved ones? And what are some practical ways to tame the chaos? Well, is peace important this morning? I think it is. The Bible says, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. And us as fathers, we're largely responsible for what takes place in our home. So is it true that as we fail as fathers, as we take our own way, as we neglect to have peace in our home, there's responsibilities, there's blood on our hands for what goes on in our children and the lack of peace. It is important. You know, the environment in our homes. And as a young dad, as I think of things in the past, sometimes I would hear my children say or do things that I shake my head, that's wrong. Why do you do that? Then I come to realize I've simply taught them that. I've allowed them to do whatever they're doing. So it is responsibility to us. I think the title here, Creating an Atmosphere of Peace, was strategically taken and I think wisely chosen. When you think of creating an atmosphere of peace, you create is a word we don't often use. I see someone here in the audience that has a machine shop. And he designs things, he makes things that work and function and look good. Usually we don't use the term creating. But when you talk about creating, the word create is used 8 times in the Bible. Isaiah used it 7 times in speaking about God making things. David asked God to create in him a clean heart. Creating is making something of nothing. It's God. We don't make peace. This morning, I don't make peace in my home by trying to remove this and that and everything. You know, that's not how peace comes. Creating an atmosphere of peace. We conclude, apart from God, there is no peace. Apart from God, there is no peace. And Mark relayed a story this morning as concerning little children and his wife. Beautiful picture of when we find that we have a lack of peace in our home. Where do we find peace? We just get on our knees. Yes, sometimes in private, but sometimes it's a blessing. I think it's good we just take our families and we just talk about these things, where we're at, and point them to God. So we conclude this morning, apart from God, there is no peace. Some of these verses that we'll be using and thoughts, I think we're going to be, the whole thrust of today is about peace, and we'll be using some of the same scripture. The scripture, yes, Isaiah 9:6 was already quoted this morning, about the prophecy of Jesus would be the Prince of Peace. I'd like to look at the next verse, verse 7, Isaiah 9:7, talking about this prophecy of Jesus when he would come. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. This was talking about Jesus who came, lived 2,000 years ago. This was prior to that. And yet Jesus has come today. He's alive. He's interceding for us. And of his peace, there will be no end. If we've lost peace, we've unplugged from our source. From his peace, there will be no end. Again, just looking at the title, the atmosphere, creating an atmosphere. So we have God, who's the answer. He's a source to where our peace comes from. The atmosphere, creating an atmosphere of peace. Webster says this about atmosphere. Atmosphere is a surrounding influence, a dominant force. We like to be in an environment that if we climb in a truck and it's warm in the summertime, we turn up the air conditioner, we like to be in a comfortable atmosphere. It helps us feel better. We can work, think, well, yeah. In the wintertime, this time of the year, we turn it, the heat on. We like to be in a comfortable atmosphere. And if we're really sweating or if we're really chilling, it's hard to focus on what we should be doing. I think in a similar manner, when the atmosphere in the home is not how it ought to be, it is hindering growth. It's hindering our course, our walk with the Lord. And you think about children, young children. They're affected by that atmosphere. I'm not sure how you find you think back over your life. Maybe you look at your parents. I can think back of my parents, my family I grew up in. I'm blessed with godly parents who taught us the way of the Lord. But there were some real challenges in life. It was not always peaceful. There were times of stress. I would say it was not that there was anger and wrath and hitting and fighting, but it was just stressful. You knew there was not peace there, and you were afraid, and it just caused us to want to go away. We didn't want to be there. That's the atmosphere, and it's not a good feeling. But I must say that when I married, we had children, God bless us with children. You know, it's not as easy as it looks to a teenager. And maybe you found that in life to be true. You look at your father back when you were a teenager and you're like, just make some changes. It'd be easier. But then as a father today, I think back, well, how do my children respond to me? What are they living with? What's the reality of it? those ought to be things we should consider and maybe even talk with our children. Just to make sure that the atmosphere we have in our homes is the way it ought to be. Atmosphere. Synonym to peace is quietness, rest, to set at one again. You know, as we consider the thing of peace in the home, I took the liberty to ask a brother in our church, what is the most important thing as you consider peace? And he said this, that the mother and father are one. That you're together. Is it not true? As you consider, you look back over your life, as you were courting your wife, you loved to spend time together, and it just seemed that you were drawn together, and you were all on the same page. It was just so easy. But you know, as time goes on, life becomes real, and you realize you were just on the surface. You weren't very deep. Nevertheless, we need to be one. We need to dig down to the foundation. This is a rather large building, and I'm sure that they didn't just one day decide on a whim, well, we need some flat surface here. We're going to pour some concrete and put some walls on top. But there was thought put into this building. There was a foundation dug below the surface, below what we see today. There was money. There was a lot of cost put in that foundation. And with that, it allows this building to be where it is today. And so it is in our life. Those things that are the foundational things, they cost. They take sacrifice. It takes a giving. And yet that's what's going to carry us through that foundation. You know, if you go back to Genesis, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And I believe one in heart. And when God joins that together, beautiful. God intended that we have that oneness of heart. Yeah, we have the privilege of being here in the community last night. Spent some time with my parents, my mom and dad, and I just asked them, so what does it take to have peace in the home? And without a whole lot of thought, they said this, love and forgiveness. Love and forgiveness. And I suppose as we think of forgiveness, it simply means that we're not perfect. As husband and wife, we say and do things that are just wrong. But as we love, we choose to love. As we're one, you know, as those things we hear, we say, we do those things, we can seek forgiveness. Love and forgiveness. What does it take? I think my mom and dad, they're having the most beautiful time of their life, enjoying life together in their old age. Yes, there's been forgiveness. There's been love. What does it take? Love and forgiveness. Before we get into some of the more practical things of life here, I have three things that I could just look at that are things are I think are very foundational to the thing of having peace in the home. We've heard about some of that. You know, peace, it doesn't come from the absence of a storm, but peace comes from God. Peace comes from God. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's God living within us. There is peace. God's present with us. So if we're here this morning, if we realize that, you know, there's an area or two, there's some areas that really we're not at peace. The first place to go is when we get on our knees and ask God, we seek God. Lord, where is our peace? Where is our walk with you? I believe if that peace is as it ought to be, it'll create a good foundation to build upon and to connect with your wife and to communicate together and to come to a place of unity and peace. Peace comes from God, number one. Number two, yes, as a husband and wife, I think we've already covered some of that. We need to be one. Maybe there are some things that we just think as a husband, as a father, we just think are pretty important. You know, this needs to be happening in a part of our life. And maybe our wife doesn't share that vision. You know, it's a relationship. It doesn't mean that we have to do right now what I think is so important and needs to be done. Maybe it's more important to build relationships for a little time. And as we do that, suddenly God is able to share that vision with our spouse as well. And together we move forward. We need each other. We need to be one. Number three, I'll just ask you this question. Fathers, are you carrying the weight and responsibility of your family? And this is one I've failed in quite miserably. You know, when you think of your responsibilities, what God has called us fathers to, yeah, life is busy. But is it not true? Okay, God is first. And then we have family. Then we have church. And then we have occupation. But for quite some time, I did things in reverse. I think church probably was first when the church functioned. We're there. We're supporting. We're there. But then somehow work was second. And family, if we had time, we spent time with the family. Maybe you don't connect with that. There's consequences for that. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Let me show you an example. The last 6 months, we were going home from work one day in Southern Ohio, driving through Athens, and we see this truck coming up from the front. We couldn't believe our eyes. Now, we'd known this is a local competitor, has a little truss shop going on there. And he had a Dodge pickup truck, a flatbed, and he had a 24-foot trailer. And he had a load of trusses on that trailer. It was a regular gooseneck trailer. And those trusses were hanging out the backside at least 12 feet, 12 or 15 feet. And they were dragging on the asphalt. And he had designed a little skid that he screwed or bolted or whatever on the bottom of it so not to damage the trusses. And he was going down the highway, lickety-split, at about 55, 60 miles an hour. We had to turn around and follow him down the four lane and take a video of what was happening here. And there was a smoke rolling because it was hot. It was warm. And I couldn't believe my eyes. I think he purposely did it after hours. It was after 5 o'clock at night. And I think he purposely had his wife sitting in the passenger seat as they were just going on a little family ride. But you know, that trailer was never meant to carry the load that it was carrying. It would have done well for whatever, a load of maybe some pallets of lumber for its design. But it was never meant to carry that load. All he needed was to do was hit something on the side. It was hanging out the side 4 or 5 feet. No flags, no nothing, no wide load. All we needed to do was hit a little bump in the road. It would have been all history. Gives you a picture of what happens when father is not in the home. What happens? When I'm busy, I'm gone. My wife is at home taking care of the responsibilities of life. The pressures are greater than she was meant to carry. Doesn't mean that she'll fail, but the chance of her failing and that pressure rising, the emotion, responding wrongly, the atmosphere is not as it ought to be. But we look at our wife, we don't blame. It's not her fault. I've failed as a father. Consider that. If you're there this morning, the utmost important. Fathers, take responsibility. You're the atmosphere in our home. I wonder what would happen if I would have knocked at your door yesterday or last night at 5 o'clock, walked in. What would I find? You know, one scene you may have walk in. Your wife may be busy making supper. She's singing with a song in her heart. The children are helping there, doing the work. Some of the younger ones are there, maybe coloring, and they're having a good time. There's just an atmosphere of peace in the home there. Or maybe you had knock on your door, and it seems the children are hither and yon. There's one son wanted to go fishing yet before the work was done. He just dropped his work, went fishing because it was a good day. And maybe there's another good book to read, and the older daughter is reading a good book. Mom was just frustrated and trying to get the work done. Things weren't happening. Still dirty house, and laundry to be put away. Supper wasn't even thought about yet. You know, that's real. That's the atmosphere. But as parents, as fathers and mothers, we can be such a blessing. And sometimes, okay, so it's easy, right? After supper, we look at our children, well, it's your turn to wash the dishes. It's time to get on. And then we just sit on a chair and start reading, finishing our book. We don't understand why our children don't want to help. I challenge you. After supper, what happens if Papa goes over and starts, like, rinsing the dishes or whatever? It brings your children right along to that. There's an interest. Father's in the kitchen. You're helping. You'll find it a blessing. Your children will want to help. And as you're doing that, there can be visiting going on. There can be talking. But be there to help. In our family, like I said, we didn't do everything right. We failed in many areas. But there's a togetherness in our family. And I bless the Lord for that. You know, when there are times when there's things to be done, whether we're trying to clean up the shop in the evening or maybe it's making hay, but whatever it is, it's such a blessing when Dad and the boys are out trying to finish a job. Our wife and my daughters have an interest in being there, and they'll often come. Sometimes they'll drive a half hour to bring us iced coffee, whatever. And that does amazing things for a work crew for my three sons when my daughters and my wife show up and just show an interest in being there. Such a blessing. Togetherness. Team effort, okay. You know, I didn't do everything right. The thing of not being at home. Being carried with the cares of this life. I guess I didn't take time to introduce my family. I guess God's blessed us immensely. My wife and I, we've been married for 28 years. We have 6 children. We have 3 sons at home. Kevin is 27. And my second son is 23, Jeffrey. Arlen's 21. And then our oldest daughter is 25. She's married, living locally here. And we have a 20-year-old daughter and a 14-year-old daughter who's here today. 6 children. Lord blessed us. But in our responsibilities young in life, like I said, we spent too much time away at work. enough time at home. Suddenly, I'll just share this briefly. Suddenly one day I realized I didn't have my daughter's heart. I'll say this, I'm not sure how to say this. Those failures become real in life. If you're here today, I bless. There's some Amish people here today. I've Amish friends who love the Lord, are walking with the Lord, and I bless you in that. We have many, many good friends, and I bless that. There's also some of the young people that are not doing things they ought to do. And my daughter became best friends suddenly with a wild Amish girl that was adopted, that had some major challenges in life. And on a whim, she was gone. It took our peace as a family. Suddenly. But by the grace of God, even in those difficult times, when she was yet out on another night of drinking, didn't know when she'd come home, as a family, we would gather around the living room and we would pray for our daughter. That God would just bring her home, have mercy on her. You suddenly realize you didn't have the answers. God help us to spend time with our children, with our families. But those difficult times were also a great blessing for our family. It was a time when the rest of our family realized what she had was not what they wanted. And they made choices for the Lord that had been a blessing to them. There was many a night where I'd stand up in the bathroom window, just waiting, window open, just waiting, hearing another car coming, thinking maybe she'd come home, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, maybe. Remember the time she was home in the wintertime. She didn't want to sleep in the house. She wanted to sleep in the barn. Really? How about a warm bed for you? Didn't want it. Well, today God's been merciful. You know, she's not where I'd love to see her. She is married, has a responsible husband who's responsible and committed. An ex-Warson trooper, but I do have respect for him. They go to church, they read their Bible, have Bible study, but you know, they're not, we'd love to see them in a place where we know beyond a shadow of a doubt they're ready to meet the Lord. But those are things that we just give to God. But it's because, yes, we fail, and yet as parents, those times spent together will do so much for your children. I trust we can learn from that. How can peace flow from us to our loved ones? You know, as fathers, we first need to have peace with God. And you know, how do you respond when there's difficulty arising? The way that we respond to difficulty is just teaching our children how they're supposed to respond. And when we don't respond properly, they look at examples, and they'll probably take it a step or two further. Our weaknesses are amplified in our children. How can peace flow from us to our children? Our children today are still a great blessing to me. My three sons have made choices for the Lord. How can peace? You know, this past 2 weeks, we had a large construction job we're working on. I didn't want any part of the windows. There's some remodel work and also a large addition. So I gave that part to someone else, but I did a drawing. And in my ignorance, we didn't think twice. There are people here that are construction workers that know what would happen. But if you take a big gable peak, a gable wall, you take a triangular window. If it's a 12 pitch, you can have a 12 pitch triangular window. You lay it on the side, and it'll be a 12 pitch. It works. But you take a 10 pitch, it doesn't work that way. And I simply did the drawing, and my drawing program was limited, but I simply did a drawing and showed it for the customer. Then I flipped it on the side and showed it on the side like he wanted it. And we ordered 8 windows. Or they did. I didn't have any part of the contract of doing that, but I did the drawing. Suddenly we have $16,000 worth of windows sit here that we can't use. Well, how do you make peace with that? Well, as we discovered it, I told my boys, well, really looking at the drawing's wrong. You can see the drawing is not perfect. You see the drawing is not lining up. So if I just build like a drawing shows, we've kind of done our job. But he won't be happy. I won't be happy. My boys said, well, Dad, we just need to pay for it. In fact, we'll pay for it if you don't want to. So by God's grace, I've taught my boys how to make peace. And it's okay. He's giving us a lift. We're still swallowing $11,000. It's okay. It's a large job. We're doing okay. It's okay. But those are learning experiences. And what did God allow that? I'm not sure. We're learning. But that's maybe a large, and it hurt down here somewhere. It hurt a little bit. When you think of what could have been done with that. But when you make peace, those years, year after year, things that have happened in the past, we've taught our children how to make peace in the home. And now, as you get out to real life, that's where mission work is. This customer is not a godly man. He's a nice customer, good customer, but not a godly man. Yeah, I could probably take that $11,000 and use it somewhere in a mission field. That would be very, very beneficial. But maybe God allowed it to happen to bring him to the Lord. I would like to think that. Maybe you can pray for Chris Lyon. That would happen, that we could continue to be a blessing to make peace. So it's, how can peace flow? Number one, we talked about some of that. Having your heart of your children. Malachi, we read about that. That the hearts of the children would be turned to the fathers, and the hearts of the father be turned to the children. That's God's heart this morning. May that be our example, that we spend time together. Number two, we already heard that peace is a fruit of the Spirit. If we don't have peace, let's not blame our wife, our children. Let's start by getting on our knees, seeking God. Finding peace with God, only then are we in a position to consider our wife and our children of where peace is. Number three, family time, investing time together. And just spend time. If you have young children here, spend time with your children. I know it's easier and maybe sometimes more fulfilling. That's not the right term. It's easier and we enjoy better to be with other people our age. If you have an evening that you want to do something, it's easier to invite the neighbors or some family member to just have a good time together. But when you spend time with your children, you spend time on their level, you're planting seeds. It's not bringing a harvest tomorrow or maybe the next day, but in the years to come it will. Like I said, we didn't do everything right. But one thing we did as a family, we just made a point, when we do something, our children are with us. If we go on a trip, as a family we go on a trip. If we go out to eat, I'm sorry, my wife and I spent time together, but if we go out to eat, my family goes along to eat. We love having them together. Spend time together. If there's shopping to be done, that's the one thing we did as a young age when we had young children, many mouths to feed. We got a local Wally World out here in Millersburg once a week. We would take the family. We wouldn't get a babysitter, take care of our children. We got to go shopping again. You take the family. Our six children were in tow. They learned to push the cart. They learned to find food. It's a ministry. People, wow, your children are respectful. Oh, well, they're just trying to be normal here. But, you know, they learn to respect others. They say, excuse me, and to get out of the way. Yeah, they want to buy things. Oh, yeah, sorry, we don't have money for that candy today or that basketball you want to buy. We'll blow up the one at home. But there are things that we can do. It's a teaching, and it's spending time together. Some people tell me that, well, I could never take my children to shopping. It would just, they'd be running and everything and grabbing things and breaking things. We got a problem. We got to spend more time at home, the way that sounds. Take your children with you. When you go to visit people, take them with you. Go help the neighbors. Just be a family. Take them together. As they grow, they'll come to bless you. And you know, now as a family, we just like to be together. In a beautiful time of life when five of our children are still at home with us. And it's a great time together. Family time. You know, maybe you're here this morning and say, well, I just don't enjoy as much to be with my little children. They can't talk at my level. I enjoy it better if we just invite someone else over. Yeah, I've heard this man about this man that said, well, really, he doesn't have any interest in missions. Well, someone told him, well, put your money into missions and see what happens. He put his money into missions, and suddenly he was interested in missions. I would say this morning, if you're here and you feel a need of spending more time with your family, or you feel your heart's just not quite there, well, spend time with your family. As you invest time in your children, that's where your heart will be. You're going to see things that you don't see today. Your heart is going to follow. Family time. Communication. Communicate with your children. Be open with them. Just be real. If there are things, I know there are some things that happen sometimes in church life that we're not here to criticize other people. Those are things we need to be careful in, I think. Wise in those things, but if there are issues, you just talk about them freely with your children so your children know where mom and dad are at. They know, well, on this subject over here, we're not quite there. This is wrong. According to the Bible, this is wrong. But, you know, with that, we can respond in a positive way and in a good attitude. And our children can learn that even in difficulties, well, dad doesn't think quite like what's happening here. But he still has love and respect coming along, and they learn that. What do you think will happen when they realize suddenly that, oh, they may not think the same as dad does? You know, they've learned to even respect, and even when they disagree, they respect and love and have room for grace. Be open, communicate. Openness brings rest and clarity. Speak blessing to your family. Communicate. You know, there was a church that I, some years ago, I talked to a brother there, and he said, really? You know, in our church, we don't know what's happening. The leader wasn't really being open and communicating with what was going on. He said, it's not that we're against each other, but we just don't know what's happening. And bring it down on a family level. Maybe your children, they just don't really know what's happening. But when you're open, when you communicate, it puts your children in a position of understanding and realize why you do the things that you do and what your goals are in life. And it brings them into the blessing. And through the thing of communicating, I'll just share this. Sometimes God has some detours in life. The past number of years, we've been on a journey. Things didn't work out at the church we were at, and we've moved on. And we were told that it's well nigh impossible to take your family of youth and successfully move. That wasn't very comforting or encouraging, and yet we saw no future where we were. But you know, by God's grace, and only by His grace, we were able to find God's will and move on in a positive way. And our children are with us. Our four children that are all converted with the church. They're with us together in this. Why? By God's grace. But by communicating. By just looking at some of these challenges. Had we responded in a negative way, in a bitterness, lack of forgiveness, they probably are responding to me, to mom and dad, in that way today. But by God's grace, the Lord's been good to us. We've been able to transition and find a blessing where God is calling us. Communicate. Team effort. Take the time. Number five, team effort. Take the time to teach your children responsibilities. That's not an easy one for me. I'm nature just a little bit faster than some people, and I'm not a good teacher. I'm not sure why they found my name here. They're just looking for somebody with some challenges. But teaching your children. You know, at a young age, it's so much easier for me to just quickly do it myself and be done. It'll be done like I want it. It'll be done. Go on. No. By other people, I think speaking into my life in the past, I've realized that when you teach your children at a young age, give them a responsibility, it doesn't have to be done like exactly I do. You know what? Today, my children do so much more than I ever could, and it's so much better than I could. There are certain things that I just walk away and shake my head. I'm not cut out for it. I can't. I move on to other things because they've been given responsibility. And with experience and the way God has made them, they can do it so much better than I can. If you're here today with younger children, or with children, just teach them. Allow them to do things. Give them responsibility. Communicate. And they're able to do it better than you can. You'll be retired before you know it. You'll be doing the work. Team effort, yes. Number six, sharing the joys and sorrows of life. It's such a blessing when you do it together. You know, joys are multiplied when shared as a family, and the sorrows of life are divided or lessened when shared with those you love. Let's look at some things that hinder peace in the home. We've looked at some things that help us. Excuse me. Number one, having selfish motives. Selfishness destroys. Well, I'm sure I'm talking to people that aren't selfish. But you know, as you think of Charles Hamilton, in the past, heard him speak about wisdom. We're not just, our heart is not automatically wise. We're not bent to wisdom. We're bent toward self. And having selfish motives destroys relationships. It leaves children to wander away and take their own way. Why? Because mom and dad showed them how to do it. So when you have selfish motives, it destroys relationships. Also, another thing we mentioned this morning about the thing of peace, the blessing of peace in the home. The opposite is also true. When we don't have peace, when we have the works of the flesh, when those things are in our life, peace is gone. It destroys relationships. Being away from home destroys, takes away from peace in the home. No, you're not there and actively destroying, but when you're not there, things are taking place. Relationships are being built with someone somewhere. The story is given about quality time. You know, what if, and we hear much about quality, spending quality time. But this basketball player that was really, really good, you know, how did he get there? I suppose he spent a lot of time practicing. But what if he decided, you know, I'm pretty good at this. I'm just going to spend 15 minutes of quality time every day and playing basketball, and I'll be really good. You know, that's a failure. He'd probably be sitting on a bench somewhere. The same is true for us as parents. We can't have 15 minutes of quality time with our children and think that'll suffice and get us where we want to go. It takes more. It takes quantity, not only quality. Number four, lack of openness. Maybe we're just not open with what's going on. That destroys. Maybe we're not at odds. There are disagreements. Maybe it's silence. Silence destroys. Maybe we don't have goals as a family. What happens when you're spending your energies? Imagine you being in a little canoe, maybe bigger than a canoe. We have 6, 7, 8 children with us. It's bigger than a canoe. But imagine being in a boat and we're all rowing. We're going somewhere. We know where we want to be. It's lunchtime. We want to be at a certain place. Well, if we share the vision with our family so they know where we're going, they can help us get there. But if we don't tell our children where we're going, they may simply be along for a free ride, or they may be dragging their paddle and actually hindering our work. But when you share the vision of where we're going, it can be a blessing to them. It makes it so much easier. We're going the same direction. It's a blessing. What are some practical ways to tame the chaos? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. One of my favorite verses. Seek first the kingdom. You know, sometimes we just have to say no. In a larger community of family, friends, church, or just sometimes we just need to say no. We don't have time for that. We need to start with the essentials and prioritize. Are we spending time as a family? I know the challenge of being here in a larger community, leaving for work at 5, 6, 7 in the morning, getting home at 6, 7, 8 at night. That's a challenge. How do you spend time with a family? We found it such a blessing in Southern Ohio, where the water runs a little slower and everything. To spend time after supper is just a good time for us. We just spend time as a family to have our family devotions. Again, I mentioned we have family. We love to be together. And after that is just a continuation of visiting together. The last 2 weeks, my daughter, one night, she wanted to go with some of her coworkers, works at a bowl food store, to have a little campfire, and we allowed her to go. And as a family, as the boys, we just decided, you know, it'd be just really nice to have her at home with us for family devotion. So we waited till 9:45 to have her family devotion. So we just all wanted to be together and know what's going on. We could have done it right after supper. We just want to be together. Spend time together. I see closing time is coming up pretty quickly here. Peace comes from God. If we're here this morning, if we find that we don't have peace in our heart, we don't have peace in our home, what are we going to do? Let me show you a story. 48 years ago, there was a large freighter called the Edmund Fitzgerald that sank in some waters in Lake Superior, I believe. It was 729 feet long, 75 feet wide, and it weighed 13,000 pounds, a big freighter. And it went through a storm. Before it went to a storm, 2 weeks before that, they'd done an inspection on this, and they realized, they found there were some hatches that they could close the cargo area that were leaking, that were not secure. And somehow they disregarded that. They thought this big ship was invincible, like similar to the Titanic some decades earlier. And places to go, money to be made, things to do, they kept on going. They got into a storm on November 9th of 1975. This storm, they estimated the waves would probably be 22 feet high, and maybe even up to double that height that the, you know, waves every now and then. And the wind to be 55 mile an hour winds. They realized the storm was coming. But the captain was afraid to even tell his crew of 29 people, because if he would have told his crew there's a storm coming and that we're not sure we're going to make it, he was afraid there'd be fear come upon them, so he didn't tell anybody. There was another boat in the area that he radioed to, and he said, well, we're just floating along like an old shoe. We're flopping. However, soon after that, it sank. It disappeared from radar. It was carrying 26,000 tons of iron ore headed to Toledo or Detroit. Try to make some more cars. And it sank. Why? Because they had a couple of hatches that they couldn't close properly. And the water got in and just simply took on water, the weight of it. This morning, if we realize there's a couple of hatches that may be leaking a little bit, we can kind of close our boat just a little bit. We can keep on going. We can think maybe it doesn't matter. We got things to do that are more important. But time will tell. And as those storms come, there may come a time it'll break in half. Like it did for us suddenly, for our daughter. May God help us that we build relationships. If there are things in our life that are hindering that, don't kick it down the road. Take steps, whatever it is. It may be different occupation. It may be moving off the farm. I don't know. God has an answer for us. It's about eternity beyond. I think we'll close with that. Thank you.